Begin the current daf Masechet Erech and daf Yutes. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Yamin. But the Gemara begins the next parak, the 5th parak of Masechet Erech, parak Ha'emi Mishkalei Elai, which continues in a related vein of this discussion, which we were talking about if someone says Erech Elai, or if he says Damim Elai. Here we talk about if Ha'emi Mishkalei Elai. If someone says, my weight is upon me, I have an obligation to give my weight value to Hekdesh. Says the Mishnah, so Nesim Mishkalei, so he gives his weight to Hekdesh. Im kesef, kesef, if it's silver, then silver, if it's zav, zav, gold, gold. But he has to give his value in weight to Hekdesh. Says the Mishnah, Maisa be'imishal Yirmatya. There was a story with the mother of Yirmatya, which is the name of a woman, Sha'amr, that she said, Mishkal biti olai, the weight of my daughter is incumbent for me to give to Hekdesh. V'also Yushalayim b'shakla. She went up to Yushalayim and she weighed, and she gave Mishkal azav, she gave her weight of her daughter in gold. Continues the Mishnah, Mishkal yoda yalai. Let's say he says, the weight of my hand is upon me to give to Hekdesh. Now, the difficulty is, how is he supposed to weigh it? Because the hand of a person, depending how he's holding it, if he wants, he can make it heavier. If he wants, he can make it lighter. How do you know the actual definitive weight of the hand to give to Hekdesh? So, he says, you do as follows. Mali chavis maim umachnisi. Fill up a barrel of water, and you put the inside, the hand, in the water, in the bucket of water, admar pekai, up until his armpit, to his shoulder. And what happens is when he sticks his hand into the water, so some water is going to come out. When the water comes out, it comes out that there's some water that's missing. It's called displacement. Then, you take flesh from a donkey, which the weight of the flesh of a donkey is equivalent to that of a person. And moreover, with that flesh, there should be vatsamais, vegidim, there should also be bones and tendons, accordingly how much a hand has, because a hand has flesh and bones and tendons. And the reason why you have to make it a combination of them is because the weight of bones and tendons is not the same as the weight of meat, of the flesh. And then then you'll fill up that barrel with the meat and the tendons and the bones of the donkey until it fills back up again, where now that means to say you have the same volume as you had from the measurement of the hand, according to the weight you're going to be giving, because the weight of that of the donkey is similar to that of a person, and then you'll know how much was from the displacement of the person's hand to know how much he has to give the weight of his hand. Now, Amr Biyisi, but he says, V'chihech efshalachavim, but he says, how can you be precise? Basa k'neged basa, that you're giving the same amount of flesh from the person of the donkey, v'atzamis k'neged atzamis, and the equivalent of bone to bone. You can't. It says you just evaluate the hand. How much do you think it would be fit? You give an estimate of how much you think the hand would weigh, and that's how much you give to Hekdesh. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha by Mishnah. Someone says he's taking his weight upon himself, he has to give it in weight. So then it says, if silver, silver, gold, gold. So the Gemara asks, Ma'im kesef kesef mzav mzav. What does it mean, if in silver, then silver, if in gold, then gold? Some of you, he says, pirish kesef kesef. If he specifies, I want to give my weight in silver, then kesef. He gives his weight in silver. Pirish zav zav. It says, if he specifies gold, then gold. So says Yimar Peshitta, obviously. Says Yimar, the hakamash from lumber. That's what's telling us, is time of the pirish. Because he specified, then he gives what he specified. Holy pirish. But if he didn't specify, pater nafshe b'choldhu, then he could exempt himself from his obligation. And no matter what it is, whatever he wants to weigh in that weight, you could use that as weight and say and give that value of whatever that item was that you're weighing of the same weight of the person himself to give to Hekdesh. Kerechava, like Rechava, Saddam Rechava, he says, Ba'asu the tikli kufra, in a place where they measure pitch, tar, which is, they sell the pitch by weight, so that's a weighted thing. So patanav shafil kufra, then that's a weighted thing. He could give his value of that weight in that thing, which is not so much as like silver and gold, and you could do whatever it is that you want to weigh it in and just give that value of the weight. Says Gemara, well, Pshita, obviously, why not? He just said his weight, and that could be in anything that you're weighing with. Says Gemara, Loi Tzricha, no, it was a necessary chiddush of Rechava, because the Igadit Takal, there are those who weigh that item, the Igadit Kail, are those who only measure, they don't weigh it. Ma'ud de Tame Kim the Kudloi Takal, you would say, oh, because everyone doesn't weigh it, so that wouldn't be a good item to use as the person's weight, because it's not a weighted item. Mashwan, since there are people that weigh it, it can be considered a weighted item, and therefore it could be used to fulfill one's obligation for the taking the value of himself in the weight. Similarly, Amra Papa, he says, Ba'asu de Tikli Shamchi, in the place where they weigh onions, so patanav shefil b'shamki, so he could exempt himself even with onions. That's going to be a good item to use to say that he's giving his weight in it. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, what's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, Loi tzrich in the hero. So there was a chiddush. The bus and the shaka, because after that, the sellers weigh the onions. Shadu trei tilsa. They throw in another two or three, like sellers do. They'll throw in a little bit extra. Ma'ad tema bottle taras mishkal. You would say, okay, then it lost its equivalent of something that's being weighted, because you see, it's not being sold totally by weight because they throw in an extra two, three. Mashmalan, that's the chiddush, and say, no, it is a weighted thing. Just they throw in an extra two, three. That doesn't take away that the primary sale of it is through weight, and therefore that would be a good item to use for giving one's value in weight. The Gemara said that the Mishnah quoted, that it's brought a story related to this halacha, that it was an incident with the mother of Yermatya, that v'chul, etc., that she came up to Yerushalayim and she gave her daughter's weight in gold. So the Gemara says, Maisa Lister? You bring a story, which usually that's supposed to help and assist the halacha, it's contradicting the halacha. The Mishnah opened up by saying, if it's silver, silver, if it's gold, it's gold. And we explained the Gemara, what is that coming to tell us? That, yeah, if you specify, then you have to give that. But if you didn't specify, you can examine yourself whatever you want. And then the Mishnah goes and says a story with the mother of Yermatya that she just said, I'm going to give the weight of my daughter, and didn't specify. And then it says that she gave it in gold. But why? Why would you give it in gold if you don't have to? Why would the Mishnah be telling us that story? Says the Gemara, you're a chsur mechstav achitayim. The word's missing in the Mishnah, this is the way it's supposed to say. But if the person who's taking the vow is a distinguished person, even if they didn't specify what they're weighing it with, or the gear says amdinan, that we evaluate according to that person's dignified status, and that's going to be the obligation. And that's who Maisa b'Mishal Yermatya, and that's the same story with the mother of Yermatya. She said, I'm going to give the weight of my daughter to Hektish. The also Yerushalayim Shaklun, they went to Yerushalayim, they weighed her. But Nasna Mishkal Azav, they gave her weight in gold, because since they were distinguished wealthy people, therefore they had to give according to their affluence, even if it wasn't specified. Now, related to halachas to our Mishnah, Amr Yehuda, he says, Ha'imer Kaimasi Alai. And our Mishnah will be speaking about it, he says, I'm going to give my weight. Let's say a person says, I'm going to give my height, which sounds like according to the person's height. So what he has to give is nice and sharvet. He has to give a thick stick, she'ena nichvif, which he can't bend. Now, if he specified silver, then it has to be out of silver. Gold, gold. But that's what he's saying. I'm going to give my height. He has to give something, like a stick, in that height. Now, but it has to be so that you can't bend it, because he's saying my height, which includes the whole stature of the height. Now, but let's say he says, malay kremosi, he has in the word malay, the fullness of my height. That sounds like his intention is only literally for the height itself, but not for the thickness, the width that adds to the stature of the height. Then Then you could even give a stick that bends. It doesn't have to be a thick stick that doesn't bend. Now, Meisvei the Gemara, however, asked Rabbi Yehuda from an explicit Braisa. The Braisa says, "Kaimasei life." Someone says, "My height is upon me to give to Hektish." Or Maloi Kaimasei life, or the fullness of my height. Noisin Sharvet She'ena Nichvav. He has to give a stick that cannot be bent. So you see that even when he says malai, it cannot be bent. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara, you're right. But who Rabbi Yehuda is? The Amak Rabbi Kiva. He's saying like a different time than that of Rabbi Kiva. The Dayek Lishni Yisera, that he establishes that there's a precision in a seemingly superfluous terminology. Why? Did not learn the Mishnah Baba Basra. It says as follows: if someone sells someone a house, says the Mishnah, he hasn't sold with him the house lo yasabur, not the pit that's dug inside the ground, not in a actual built thing. And neither what's a similar type of thing, a cistern, which is not dug in the ground, but rather it's a structure itself. But when he's selling him the house, he hasn't sold him this pit and this cistern. Even though when he sold him, he said, I'm selling the house and its depth and its height, that doesn't include the pit. However, but the seller, although he's held on to the pit and the cistern, but he has to be likachli derech, he has to buy from the consumer a path to be able to get to the pit and the cistern, which goes through the property, because he sold him the whole house and the whole property, and he didn't hold on to anything else in the property besides the pit and the cistern. And the reason for this is, because Rabbi Kiva holds, when someone sells something to someone, he sells them magnanimously, he sells them with a very generous spirit, and therefore, although the pit is not being sold, but he didn't hold on to a road for himself to get there. So if he wants to get to the pit, he's got to buy from the consumer a path to be able to get there. That's the Rabbi Kiva. The sages say, no, you don't have to buy a path to your pit, because when someone sells something to someone, he sells it stingingly, and therefore, if he has a pit, obviously he left a path for himself to be able to get there. So the path is automatic. Now, continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva agrees that although he said you have to buy a path from him, but bizman sha'amarle, when the seller tells to the consumer, look, I'm selling you this house, chutz mi elu, except for these things, for the pit and the cistern, she'ain tzarch li chloi derech, and then he doesn't have to buy a path from him, then the path is automatic that he held on for himself. Why? Amu, we see, kibin do li tzarech, he didn't have to specify that he's not selling him the pit and the cistern, because we said that's always automatic, that the pit and the cistern is not included in the sale of the house, even if he doesn't say anything. So, Vakama, but he still said it. He said, except for the pit and the cistern. That's because litfuyi milsakasi, he was coming to add on something additional and to notify the buyer that I am holding on to something more into the in the property. That is a path for me to be able to get to the pit and the cistern. Oh, so hachanamitza, here also says the Gemara, kibin de leit sarach, since he didn't have to say. When he's talking about, he wants to give his height to Hektish. Now, saying your height sounds like the height itself. Now, but v'kamar, but he didn't just say kaimasi, he says malai kaimasi. But that means the same thing. No, rather it's litvui milsakasi. He's coming to add on something. What's the extra terminology coming to say? To notify, to say that his intention is only for the height itself and not for the thickness of the height. And therefore, it could even be nechfefes, not like the Braisa, because he's going like Rabbi Kiva, who says that the extra wording is coming to tell us a certain halacha. Now, by the way, the following question, related vein. A muddi mahu. If someone says that I'm going to give my stance, my standing to Hector, does that sound like that he has to give a standing stick or not? Or he doesn't have to give anything because that doesn't have any definition in the terminology of Nadar. Or as we get to Mitbei, is reich be mahu. If he says he's going to give his whiff, what does that mean? Does that sound like a stick that has a similar whiff of the person? Or does it mean a stick that is as long as he is wide? Or yeshivasu mahu, what's the halacha if he says, I'm going to give my sitting? Or oivav mahu, he says he's going to give his thickness. Or hekefa mahu, or if he says he's going to give his circumference. Meaning, what does that mean? Does it mean he has to give a stick that it could bend, that it's going to be as long that it could go in the height and then bend, so that's essentially what the circumference as in the measurement of the person's circumference? Or maybe he has to get a stick that's as thick as his circumference. So is it that it has to be able to go around his circumference? Or it itself has to be as thick as his circumference? So I'm going to take a let it stand. It's not clear regarding these situations what the halacha would be in the context of taking such a neder of a person's different elements in how he's saying relating to his own self. Now the Mishnah said, Mishkel yodei alai b'chulu. If someone says, I'm going to give the weight of my hand to Hektish. So there's a machlik is exactly in the Mishnah, how to evaluate the weight of the hand to give to Hektish. So Tzambon, when the Braisa elaborates on this machlik is and says the same case, Mishkel yodei u mishkel ragli alai. If someone says, the weight of my hand, the weight of my foot is on me to give to Hektish. Shem Yudami says, as we said in the Mishnah, he says, mevi chavis u mamali maim. So you bring a pitcher, you bring a bucket of water, and you fill up with water, umachnis biyada da atzel, and you stick the hand in up until the armpit. That's regarding the hand. Or beregel ad arkub, in the case of the foot, you stick the foot into the bucket of water until it reaches to his knee, because above the knee is not called the regel anymore, it's called the yerech, the thigh. The shekel, basur chamor begin matzamis, and then you obviously take your hand, the foot out, and then you weigh the meat of the donkey with its tendons and its bones. And you fill it in up until it fills up to where it originally was, and that is how much the weight of that donkey's flesh is how much you're going to give. Now, it says, even though there's no proof of what I'm saying, there's an allusion to it. Because like the pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, that the flesh of their donkeys is their flesh of the Egyptians. So you see that the flesh of a human being is equivalent of that of a donkey, and therefore, if we're going to have to figure it out, we're going to do it with the laws of displacement with then the basar of chamar. However, Amalei Rabbi Yisi says to him, as he says in our Mishnah, how can you figure out exactly the amount of flesh by the human? That's how much flesh you're going to get from the donkey. Gidim connected gidim, tendons equivalent to tendons. Tzamas connected tzamas, bones equivalent to bones. So though it's going to be the filling up that displacement, and it's going to be elements that are similar to that of a human being, but how are you going to get the exact measurements of bone, tendon, and flesh? So this is Imdin. You know, you evaluate how much you could tell in the person's hand, there's a certain amount of bones, that's how much bones you use from the donkeys. So Bisi said to him, Ad Shaim Dim, so if you're estimating anyway, so you might just say, yeah, then just estimate how much you think the weight of the hammer would be, and you don't have to do this whole process of displacement that you're doing. But says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, he holds, no, Kama de Efsha Abdinan, as much as you could get as precise as possible, that's what you're going to do. And since we can get more precision, even though you have to do some estimation, in regards to the law of displacement, we're rather going to do that than just estimate how much is the weight of the hand. Now the Gemara asks, we said that Biyad, regarding the hand, is Ad Ha'atzel, that you stick the hand in up until the armpit, and that's going to be the displacement of the hand, that then you're going to know that amount of weight to give to Hektash. That's the Gemara, but Raminda seems to be contradicted from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Kiddush Dam Regalim B'Mikdash, the sanctification of the hands and the feet of the Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash, was Ad HaPerek, was until the joint, which is where the palm meets the arm, which is the wrist. So obviously we see that it says in the Torah that you have to wash the hands of the Kahanim. So you see the hand is only up until the wrist. So how are we saying just before that the hand is considered up until the shoulder? Says the Gemara, the Reis Ad HaPerek, right? Biblically, like we find by Kiddush Dam Regalim, the hand is only up until the wrist. Ben Nedarim, Harlech Achal Lashem, and the other. But in laws of vows, we always say, we go after the terminology of how, colloquially, how people usually use it. And people call the hand the whole arm up until the shoulder. So therefore, when someone says that he's going to take the weight of his hand, it means up until the shoulder. Although biblically, you're right, it's only the hand itself. Now that is Gemara. Is that really so? Biblically, the hand is only up until the wrist, but Vabi Gabi Tefillin. But it says regarding wearing the Tefillin, the Chassid says you should put the Tefillin on Yodecha, your hand. Now, the Bei Menashe taught a Brisa that Yodecha, where do you put the Tefillin? You don't put it on the palm of your hand. Zuki Biris, that's the biceps. That's the height of the arm, a little bit beneath the armpit. So, but that's Yodecha. But I thought Yodecha is only up until the wrist. So says the Gemara, no. The Reisiki Bar is cool. You're right. Biblically, the hand is the entire arm, which is the biceps even. Now, similarly, B'nedarim Halach Achaloshim Ne'ad, and also regarding the laws of vows, we also go after how people speak, and they also call the hand all the way up until the shoulder. Now, but V'kiddush Adam Reglaim B'mikdash Hachasa Gemirula. This that the Kayan washed their hands in the base of Mikdash, that's only to the wrist, that's Halacha Meshem Yisina, and therefore that's only to the wrist, and therefore it's not a difficulty that, depending on the context, what the source of the Halacha is, what's considered the hand. Now, we said Beregel, regarding the foot, if he says he's going to take the weight of his foot, so he said, how much of the foot does he stick into the water? He said, it's Adar Kuba, up until his knee. Here also, the Gemara Sbirminu seems to be contradicted from the following prices. Brisa says, regalim, it says in the Torah that shalosh regalim bashana, three yom tovim in the year, we make aliyah leregel, we go up to the base of Mikdash. Now, but the terminology we use for the yom tov that we have to go up, it's called regalim, which could also mean feet. Says the Brisa, that tells us, prat lebali kavan, that excludes people that have clogs, meaning that someone who his foot was cut off by the first joint, meaning by the ankle, near his shank, and they carve out a block, and in the block they put in these rags, and he puts his shank, his stump inside that block. Such a person exempt from Ali Leregel, from going up to the base of Mikdash, because he doesn't have a regel, doesn't have a foot. But obviously we see that it's on what's called a foot. It's only up until the first joint, up until the ankle. And even though he has a shank up until the knee, but that's not counted to be considered a regel. That contradicts what we just said before, that the regel goes up until the knee. Says the Gemara here also, but the Darm Halach Achaloshim Ne'adim. No, by vows we go after how people speak. People speak up until the knees, but you're right, biblically the foot is only up until the ankle. Says the Gemara, Udarei Seprat Lebali Kavim, but is that really so, that biblically that the regal is only up until the ankle, and therefore people that don't have up until the ankle, they only have the shank, they have a stump, that they're excluded from being considered, quote, having a foot? But Vagabe Chalitza, but Zalacha regarding Chalitza, which is when a person's sister-in-law dies without any children, his brother died without any children. So he has to do either Yibun, which is to marry her, or do a process of Chalitza. The Pasuk says that she takes his shoe off of Ragli, of his foot. Now, but Tanu Lin, the Mishnah Mesechta Yevamos, it says, Chalitza, if she takes off from someone who his foot was cut off, but there's a little bit left, Min Arkuvu Lamata, that there's some of the shank, some of the foot left, now a little bit beneath the knee, that's a valid chalitza if she takes his shoe off from that stump. So obviously we see up until the knee, it is considered regel to do chalitza, and therefore then such a person should be chayv in re'iyas haregel. So why do we say that someone that's a balikav is exempt? So the Gemara of Shani Hasim, thereby chalitza is different. Because the Amar Krah says me'al ragli. She takes his shoe off from above his foot, which sounds like what's above the regal. What's above the regal? Yeah, the regal is only up until the ankle. But above the regal is the sheik, is the shank, which goes up until the knee. And therefore chalitz is valid up until the knee. So not the Gemara says, but if that's the case, that it's even above the regal, so lamal makubanami, then even above the knee should be valid to do chalitza form. So the Gemara, no, the pasuk only tells me'al, from above the regal, v'loy me'al de me'al, but not what's above the regal. And since the shank is the next one, that goes up until the knee, but not above the knee. Now Amar Pavis says, shmami, no, what we can infer from this halacha, that we don't consider the shank bone up until the knee, me'al de me'al, that's only considered me'al, and therefore for chalitza that's valid, there must be that ha'is tavira, this ankle, is ad aranachas, goes up until down, it goes all the way down to the ground. Meaning that there isn't any separate joint that connects the ankle with the joint and beneath another space. Because on the bottom there's no other joint, rather it goes straight from the sole of the foot. The sole of the foot is connected with the ankle and it's the foot, the sole, that's connected straight to the shank bone. Why? Because the Isa Gedaydech, if you'd entertain to say that even beneath Oso Mifsig Pasig, there's another separation, there's another joint but that separates between the ankle and the foot, then Havalei Stavir Me'al. Then that would make the ankle above the regal. Vishaka Me'al Me'al. That would make the Sheik, the Shank, what's above, and that wouldn't be valid for Chalitza. And the fact that we see Chalitza is valid up until the knee must be that the ankle is all the way on the bottom, and it's not another connection from the foot to the ankle, then from ankle to the shank. Which Rav Ashi Yami says, now, Fultem and Mifsik Pasik, you could even say it's a separate joint from the ankle to the foot. But called the Bahadikar, whatever is equivalent to horizontally with the bottom of the foot, Kikar Tame, so it has the same halachic status like the foot, and it wouldn't be considered Me'al Ragli, it would be considered Ragli, even though it's a separate joint. And then the shank one, yeah, would be considered Me'al Ragli, and therefore the laws of Chalitz is valid, but again, although we're saying that regarding biblical law, it only goes up until the ankle, here it's saying me'al ragli. And again, regarding nedarim, like we're saying, goes up until the knee because halach achalosh abnei adam. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related theme regarding, again, person taking just his hand. But before we're talking about the weight of the hand, now we're going with demei yaday alai, which is the similar theme we're talking about here in this parak regarding the comparisons between erichin and damim. We talked about mishkol. So this is Dimei Yodei Alai. I'm taking the monetary value of my hand to give that to Hekdash. So how do you evaluate his monetary value of the hand? Shaman Isa, you evaluate that person himself. Kama hu shava b'yad u'b'layad. How much is he worth with a hand and without a hand? And that differential will tell you how much is the hand worth. Zechai mebenadar mebeirachin. And this is a stringency that applies to the laws of vows from that of a over an Erech vow. Because if by Erechin, if a person would say Erech Yodei Alai, the Erech value of my hand is on me, or Erech Ragla life, he wouldn't have said anything unless he says something that is the life of a person, it's a limb that the life depends on. But if it's not, then there's no Erech value at all. But by Nedarim, there would be a Damim differential, and therefore that's what one would have to give to Hakdash. Now the Gemara says, so heichesh amin, how do you evaluate this difference of how much it would be worth with a hand and without a hand? Samar Rabbi says, Imdin Isi, Imit Shal Nizirkan. You evaluate him in evaluation of damages, meaning just like you evaluate a person who his friend chopped off his hand. So what you do is you evaluate him, how much would he be worth as a slave being sold in the marketplace? How much was he worth before his hand was cut off? How much is he worth now? That difference, when you're selling him in the marketplace, that's how much you have to pay for the damages. That's how much this person would have to give to Hekdash. However, Amalei Abai says, me dummy, is it comparable to that case? Hasam gavar zilahu. There, that person is already a disgraced person. His hand was already cut off. So even if you're going to be evaluating how much was he worth in the beginning before the accident, before that happened, but ultimately, they're looking at him now. How much would he be worth beforehand? But he's a disgraced person. They're looking at him with his hand cut off. So therefore, that's going to be one amount. But here, he's a robust, healthy person. Both of his hands are intact. Now you have to evaluate him, how much is he worth now that he evaluated his hand, and how much is he going to be worth afterwards? The thing is, that is a higher amount because You can evaluate him. How much would he be worth if you cut off his hand? But right now, you're looking at a person that's a robust, healthy person. And therefore, that's going to be different than when you evaluate him. Even both of them are saying, okay, what's the difference? It's a difference if you're evaluating someone that right now is missing a hand versus someone that right now has both hands, even though we're saying, but what would it be different if he didn't have his hand? But right now, he's healthy. And the whole glance of the person gives a different appearance than a person without his hands. So Rav Amabai, he says as follows. You evaluate how much would a person want to give for a slave that only does work with one hand to someone who does work with two hands, which that's exactly the case we're talking about. This person has both hands, but he's giving the value of one of his hands to Hektish. But it's not like he's missing the hand, but we're only giving the value of one hand. Well, that's the case we're describing. This slave has both hands, but he only works with one hand. And that's what we want to know. How much would that be less than a slave that he works with both hands? And that difference is how much he gives to Hektish. Now the Gemara wonders, but yodei achas mayniu. What does that mean, a slave that only does work with one hand? Because v'idach psika must mean that the other hand is cut off. Well then, hainu hach, that's exactly what Rava just said, which is this case of the evaluation of damages, which we said that that's not the same thing we're discussing. Says the Gemara, it means yodei muhtabis l'rabbi rishon. It means his hand has been written over in ownership to his first master, meaning that he's not going to do any work with that hand for his second master, which that's being evaluated as a healthy, robust person. He just doesn't work with that hand because that's owned by his other master. That difference is going to be the value of how much the person has to give if he says, d'mei yodei alai, to give to Hektish. Now, by Rava has the following question. Let's say, and this is related to the thing we're saying, how you evaluate, let's say a person was evaluated in evaluation of damages, meaning his friend already injured him and cut off his hand, and they evaluated how much he used to be worth and how much is he worth now, and that was how much the reparations the person has to compensate him for that damages. Now, additionally, and then, after he was evaluated, he says, the value of my hand, not the erkiolai, but rather the value of my hand is upon me to give to Hektish. Now, what's the halacha? The question is, do we have to go ahead and evaluate him again or not? So the Gemara explains the question. We just evaluated him just right before he got injured by this guy, and they evaluated how much is it worth, and therefore you don't have to evaluate again. He said, to me, that's exactly how much he has to give to Hektish. Maybe no. Shani umdun de be'asara. An evaluation of 10 people, because when someone says Dimei Olai, you have to evaluate him with 10 people. As the Mishnah says in the first parak in Sanhedrin, in the beginning of Masechta, it says karka, land, and a person are evaluated with 9 people with a kain, for a total of 10 people. So that's different than the Beit Lasa, than the evaluation when there's damages, which that's only done with 3 people, like a Mishnah teaches, Gezelis and Chavalis are with 3. So maybe then, even though he was evaluated once, but that was with 3, here that he's coming to do for Hektish, that would require 10. You would have to evaluate again. And says the Gemara, and imtim tzolayma, and if you're going to say, okay, you're right, shani umdun in the be'asar me umdun debe'it las, it's a different type of evaluation, it's more precise when you have 10 than 3, and therefore you would have to do it over again. But let's say amr demei alai vamdu. Let's say he says, I'm going to give the monetary value of myself, and then he's evaluated. And then again he says, after they evaluate him, he says, I'm going to give the value of myself. What's the halacha? So you can say, here, most definitely, he was already evaluated by 10 people. So therefore, you don't have to evaluate again. They just give that same amount. Maybe no. Maybe there's a difference of an increase of value from that day or hour or whatever it was from when he last took it. And you would have to evaluate him again. And says the Gemara, if you're going to say that, okay, right, this is the Shevach Beini Beini, and you have to evaluate him again. But let's say Amar Dmei Alai, V'loyam Du. Let's say he says, I'm going to take my monetary value, and they didn't evaluate him yet. V'chazav Amar Dmei Alai, and then he says, again, I'm going to take my value on myself. Ma, what's the Lach? That's the Gemara explains. Ha'chavad, the here most definitely, as we continue to have a Chafim and Af, B'chadzim Amar Dmei Alai, we'll evaluate him both at one time, and he'll give double of whatever that evaluation is, because he wasn't even evaluated ever once. Maybe no. Even the bezeach hazeh nada, since the vows were not they were not simultaneous; they were rather consecutive. They were one after another. So they're two different vows. So treizim niamdinli. So you have to evaluate them at two different times, each one individually. V'im timtzulam. If you're going to say yeah, even the bezeach hazeh nada, since they were vowed at different times, even though there was never evaluation yet, but treizim niamdinli. So then you have to evaluate them two different times. What would be the halach if he says, two times of my value, he takes that one vow at one time, Ma wada locha be over there. Oh, so when you say hacha vada bevasachas, now the him was definitely took the vow in one shot. So bevasachas and din lay, so you could value him in one shot too. Well, maybe no. Kim the kama shnei, since he says two, doesn't say that one whole sum. He says two times of my value. So kazachas adam, that's like one after another because he's including, but it's two times. I mean, it's like two different things, and then you would require two different evaluations. And then Tim Slim, if you're going to say, yeah, Kim the Kamashne, since he said two, Kezach HaZadam, it's like two different times, and you have to do two different evaluations. But Amdume Elov, what's in the situation where he was indirectly, passively evaluated, meaning without any definitive purpose? Rather, just for no reason, there were 10 people there, and they said, how much is this guy worth? And they evaluated him. Now, what would Allah be over there? What's the question? Mirmin, do we say, Ha'amin me Elov Akai? Okay. He's already measured. We already evaluated him. So we already have that answer. Or maybe no. There has to be intent for evaluative purposes. And they didn't. They were just doing it for entertainment purposes. So that wouldn't be valid. Says the Gemara, Pashin Mia, one thing we could resolve from the commissioner that's coming up is Chada, is at least one of the questions that we asked, the last one we just asked. Because the coming commissioner says the following halacha. Dmei olai v'meis. Someone says, my monetary value is on me, and then he dies. So lo yitnu yershin, says the Mishnah, the inheritors don't give his monetary value to Hekdesh. She'in dam l'meisim, because there's no monetary value for a dead person. And how much it was worth beforehand, we don't know, because it was never evaluated when he was still alive. So they don't give. Says the Gemara, v'yisakitay techamdu me'elav hava umna. But if you think, as the last question proposed, that when someone was just incidentally evaluated, that's considered a value evaluation, then you would have to give accordingly. So Amid Vakai, so then this person that died was also predisposed to an inherent evaluation. Why? Because Mika Gavadali Shavi Arba Zuz, is there no person that's worth at least four Zuz? Of course. So we already know, not with intent to evaluate, but we know how much his evaluation was at least worth somewhat. So you have to give something. Why don't you have to give? Obviously, because we don't consider an evaluation unless it's done with specific intent. Tzitzikma says, no, that's not a good proof. Amdu me elov, when he was evaluated just for entertainment purposes, nachas lomdino, he was ready and he was put into a situation where he was concretely evaluated, so maybe that would work, even though it wasn't done with the intention of evaluating for his specific neder. But to me elov, but in regards to the halacha of the coming Mishnah, when he says, my monetary value is on me, he never came to a situation, he was never actually evaluated. It's just right now that we want to evaluate him. And you need an actual evaluation. The fact that we know that probably he had to be at least worth a certain amount of money, that's not an inherent evaluation. It wasn't any evaluation. And therefore, yeah, right, there it's not going to work. And the Yerushalmi wouldn't have to give anything, but that wouldn't prove regarding our question in regards to that. And even that question wasn't resolved. It could be, even if they didn't do it with specific intent, but they did an actual evaluation, that maybe that would work regarding his obligation of Dmei Olai.